The 30s saw a halt to European immigration. In 1930, there had been some 104,896 immigrants to Canada. In 1931, this had dropped to 27,530. By 1935, only 11,277 people came to Canada to settle. The figures then began to climb until World War II intervened to send them plummeting from 16,994 in 1939 to 7,576 in 1942. In the Great Depression, it was the economy that was partly responsible for the suspension of immigration from Europe. Ordering Council PC 695 allowed only British subjects and American citizens into the country, and then only if they fit specific criteria. They must have a certain amount of capital, be agriculturalists, were here to do farm labor, or had a concrete job offer. The poor economic conditions hit Canada very hard, yet while the so-called foreign elements in Guelph did not have the chance to increase their numbers, they were able to stabilize and establish themselves as viable economic forces and contributors. The City Directory of Guelph for 1935 notes the wide variety of jobs and businesses run by these aliens. While the Italians worked in such factories as Imico, Northern Rubber, Taylor Forbes, Biltmore Hats, and the Royal Dairy, they also established contracting businesses, florists, groceries, and restaurants, as did other immigrants throughout the city. Within the factories as well, these Guelph citizens obtained positions of power and responsibility. Dmitry Hoshuli, for example, was a foreman at Imico, and Theodore A. Keyswater was a superintendent at Northern Rubber. They were clerks and bookkeepers as well as laborers, barbers as well as mechanics, sales ladies and salesmen as well as seamstresses and tailors. In 1935, the lists of trades and businesses were no longer solely in the hands of the Irish, Scottish, and English entrepreneurs. A list of retail fruit dealers shows almost exclusively Italian ownership, while the Chinese continue to dominate laundries. While some, such as the Chinese, continue to hold this stereotypical employment, other groups did not form. Silvio L. Valeriot was a doctor, and the list of nurses included all nationalities. This does not mean that immigrants did not suffer during the Depression. In the 1930s, there were Italians, Poles, Russians, and Ukrainians forced to seek relief. Some, such as John Chiapero, Joe Mikulowski, M. Pemicori, V. Zadro, L. Santo, C. Giovanni, and A. Albiano, were hired by the Public Works Department. In early 1933, for example, J. Corstofine worked for the Waterworks Department for 43 hours for the sum of $18.38. In October 1934, C. Dawson, the relief officer for Guelph, received a letter noting that Pasquale Prigioni and A. Lowry, quote, had been used as key men on relief work and were recommended that they be allowed to continue them on as key men. Dawson noted that Pasquale Prigioni was to be reduced from 4 to 2 days of work until he became naturalized. Prejudice still existed. In 1935, a Chinese restaurant was taken to court because they were employing white waitresses. The case was tossed out by the judge, who noted that while some people might find this practice morally objectionable, it was not against the law. With the outbreak of war, it was the Germans who first became enemy aliens. On October the 3rd, 1939, all so-called enemy aliens in Wellington County were required to register with the police within 30 days. The registration, as the Guelph Mercury noted, quote, applied to all persons above the age of 16 years of German nationality or persons born in territories which were under the sovereignty or control of the German Reich on September 3, 1939, end quote. Chief Constable Harold Nash in Guelph was in charge of the registration of Slovaks, Czechs, Austrians, and others. This included their being registered and fingerprinted. anyone required to undertake this process then had to report monthly to the registrar. They also had to carry a parole card with them at all times. In addition, any aliens on relief had to produce their naturalization papers or proof of their intent to do so. Failure to comply could mean internment. Any head of the family on relief was also requested to state that he or she was willing and able to take an oath of allegiance to the King of England. When Italy entered the war on June 10, 1940, the Italians joined the Germans as being categorized as enemy aliens. On June 11, 1940, the RCMP, aided by the Guelph police, made quotation marks, simultaneous raids on several local residences, end quote, rounded up three of the local Italian leaders and interred them. The rest were towed to register. Like the Germans, they were fingerprinted and given a parole card. They were also, however, photographed. The police census of the time was to include all people in Guelph not of British birth or parentage. The city council, using a bylaw, had notices sent to all such people. They were required to report within 7 days or be fined or jailed. The Guelph Mercury quoted the bylaw in part, noting that, quote, "The chief of police and police officers are hereby instructed to first complete a census and registration of all foreigners, whether naturalized or not, as now residing or who may hereafter take up residence within the limits of the corporation of the city of Guelph," end quote. Foreigners under this bylaw were not permitted to gather or hold meetings if the chief of police believed such to be dangerous or detrimental to public safety or law and order. There were other restrictions as well. If, for instance, an enemy alien did not carry his or her card, they would not be allowed to enter their workplace and were liable for a fine. By June 26, 1940, some 1,000 aliens in Guelph had registered. They were asked to bring their firearms, and these were in some instances turned over to the Civic Home Guard that was short of arms at the time. On July 13, 1940, Chief Constable Nash announced that it was now illegal for anyone but a person of British birth to possess a firearm. This included not only enemy aliens, but Americans and French as well. Shotguns, revolvers, pistols, and any other types of weapons were to be turned over immediately to the police station. Later, all aliens had to re-register when on August 19th, 20th, and 21st, all people living in the city of Guelph had to register. It is true that from August 22, 1940 onwards, Canadian citizens of British descent had to have papers and carry them at all times, but there were major differences between the treatment of British nationalities and foreign citizens. The British were not required to show up monthly at a police station, nor were they restricted in their movements and employment possibilities because of their nationality. There were other measures taken directed against any foreign element in the city of Guelph. As part of the campaign to supposedly prevent sabotage from the Fifth Column, Guelph factories were required to post signs that said, quote, "From this time forward, the use of German, Italian, or any other foreign language on these premises is absolutely prohibited. It is the duty of every loyal Canadian to give all assistance to the enforcement of this order and to report to the management any infringement thereof or any statements made or opinions expressed contrary to the Defense of Canada regulations," end quote. These measures were to remain in practice during the war. As for Oriental immigration during this period, the Canada Yearbook of 1947 sums it up quite concisely, quote, "Under wartime conditions, Oriental immigration ceased to be a problem," end quote. After the cessation of conflict, however, normality was not immediately restored. Immigration policy was very selective. Although Canada began to accept displaced persons in 1947, these were restricted to close relatives and certain special groups that met specific criteria, for example, the manpower needs of Canadian industry. As the Canada Yearbook for 1948 to 49 remarks, quote, "During 1947, 4,527 Polish ex-servicemen were admitted to Canada to furnish immediate relief to farmers urgently requiring help. At the end of the 2-year employment at prevailing rates, consideration will be given to granting them permanent residence, end quote. During 1947 as well, some 3,000 Dutch agriculturalists arrived, followed by 7,000 for the both years 1948 and 49. The intent of this measure was once again a practical and not a humanitarian one, i.e. to help in the farming sector. Later, admittedly, Canada opened the doors for some displaced people who were otherwise considered inadmissible. Between 1947 and 1950, some 98,097 were admitted, many through relatives, others through the group movement, or as orphans and exchange students. Nevertheless, it was not until 1950 that more concrete changes were made to immigration policy. German nationals were removed from the category of enemy alien in 1950, although Italians seem to have been admitted slowly, returning to Canada after 1947-48. And in 1951, natives of India were granted permission to the number of 150 annually. They were allowed to immigrate to Canada. Sikhs began to arrive in Guelph by the late 1960s. These were different kind of immigrants than Guelph had been accustomed to up to this time period. They were professionals, mainly, who held positions at the University of Guelph or practiced medicine. In the 1980s, the Asian community in Guelph had expanded enough to support their own grocery store. In 1985, Tony Fung opened the Oriental Market on Wyndham Street, Guelph's first full-sized Asian grocery store. With the doors opening slowly again, Guelph was soon to add to its cultural exposure until by the turn of the new century, it could be truly considered multicultural in reality.